Copper Shores Community Health Foundation is excited to announce the recipients of the 2023 Recreation and Facilities Grant. Improvements will be made at Covington Township's Tow Rope and Gabriel Chop Park in Ameek. Efforts to bring Sweettown Chalet up to ADA guidelines were funded. Plus, the CCISD's Equipment Loans of the Keweenaw Group will use funds to purchase sled hockey equipment. Community health grants provide support for activities and opportunities that promote healthy lifestyles for everyone, improving the overall health of the community. Congratulations to those who receive funding. Visit coppershores.org to learn more.
Once again, good Sunday morning and welcome to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. You can learn more about them at coppershores.org. We have talked a lot over the last few months on this program about local efforts to boost the economy here in the Copper Country. Today, we have an opportunity to take more of a statewide view of that. How is Michigan working to boost the economy, and how do the statewide efforts affect us here in the Copper Country? My guest is Quentin Messer, Jr. He is the CEO of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Quentin, welcome to the program, and welcome to the Copper Country.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
First of all, for those who aren't familiar, explain what the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is.
Sure. MEDC, or the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, is really focused on four central things. One, making sure that we support and accelerate the growth of our small and medium-sized businesses. The second thing, the Pure Michigan campaign that's iconic, we operate through our Travel Michigan team. The third thing we do is really work to revitalize community through our community development team. And the fourth thing we do is really compete for and win projects of all sizes. So we can talk about some of the work that we've done to support businesses throughout the UP, but especially Calumet Electronics and others.
Indeed, Calumet Electronics has been a remarkable growth story here. Let's start, though, quickly with Pure Michigan, because we rely very heavily on tourism here in this area, and tourism from areas outside the state of Michigan. Most of our tourism comes from Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota, as opposed to a lot of people coming up from downstate. We have seen funding for Pure Michigan increase, decrease, vanish, reappear. Where do we stand?
So where we stand right now is, I think a couple of things to be noted. $15 million. There's always a desire for more, but I think what should be noted is there was also a significant amount of money placed in the budget to support convention and visitors bureaus. Now, I know that you're not necessarily going to host conventions here necessarily in the UP, but I think it should be noted that tourism is also connected to an investment that we at MEDC and the state of Michigan has made in outdoor recreation. What we really need to think about is, are there niches in tourism in which we can dominate? And it's going to be very different from what a Grand Rapids or a Traverse City or the Thumb or Southeast Michigan relative to UP. But I really think there are tremendous opportunities in outdoor recreation. I think there's opportunities in water, people who are interested in water-related sports. And I think there's an opportunity. I just got off a tour at Michigan Tech to really focus on intellectual tourism. There's a tremendous hidden asset here, maybe not hidden to the folks here, but I think to a lot of people nationally, not only Michigan Tech, but if you look at the two other public universities in the UP, Lake Superior State and Northern. So I think we have an opportunity to really be focused on intellectual tourism as well.
So that's something that Pure Michigan eventually can maybe get behind as well. We love those ads about, you know, the people shushing down in the snow, and the we have the bike trails in Copper Harbor, which are nationally, internationally known at this point. So the things that we like to push and that bring people here to the Copper Country, it's very, very important to what we do.
No, you're absolutely right. I think one of the opportunities for us is to make sure that we do a great job of letting people know the activities you can do here in Michigan on both peninsulas, but especially here in the UP. But I also think we have an opportunity to tell people who we are and the life that they could have in Michigan. So we're at MEDC supporting talent attraction effort, because I think one of the opportunities that all of us are really focused on is growing our population, and I think that directly ties into tourism as well, because I think it's great that we have people from other states, but we have 10-plus million people in the state. I think more people from across Michigan should get to enjoy the UP, and I think folks from the UP should get to enjoy things that are below the bridge. So I think there's an opportunity for a bi-peninsular type of tourism opportunity.
Growing the population, that suddenly is an issue in Lansing. I hear people talking about it. Michigan's population growth is 49th out of 50 in the United States. People are apparently either not moving here or are leaving here in significant numbers. We, of course, have experienced a lot of that in the Copper Country over the last century. Our population is not nearly what it was 100 years ago, and we continue to drop in the Upper Peninsula. This obviously has an effect on economic growth because we need people to take jobs like at Calumet Electronics. What can your organization do to help turn that around?
Sure. So I think that it's going to require an entire team effort. And so one of the things that I'm thrilled was when the governor announced a bipartisan group led by Ambassador John Ricolta and Wayne State Governor Shirley Stancato, who are co-chairs of the Growing Michigan Together Council. I think that that's important to have a recognition that there is a council that's focused. There is now this the nation's first chief growth officer, my colleague Hillary Doe, who is a colleague at MEDC. She's been in the position for less than 2 months, but has already hit the ground running. And I think that there are really three things that can help us as we think about growing our population. One is I think that as we look at our economic development framework, which is really a framework that is arguably about how do you grow your population. You have to attract and develop people. You have to cultivate and revitalize places. You have to compete for and win projects. And so I think that there's work to make sure that we are focused on those three things as part of the Make It in Michigan Economic Development Framework. I'm excited. There are a lot that we can talk about as to what we need to do to grow population. I look forward to exploring that at some point in this interview.
The state is, as I have read articles over the last few months, on one hand, a terrible place to do business, a terrible place to live, and economically going downhill. On the other hand, I have read articles that Michigan is one of the top states in the nation to do business in, a great place to live, and the economy is booming. Give me an honest assessment of where we are.
It's a great question. So I think that I and bipartisan members of the state legislature, and I certainly know our governor, are not going to rest until we are number one. But just objective third-party evaluation. CNBC, which is the probably the leading business network, had every year produces an annual list of the top states for doing business. And Michigan was in the top 10. We're number 10. Now, we're not going to be satisfied until we're number one, but it's only the second time we've ever been in the top 10. I think if you look at sectors that are experiencing job creation, we're very strong in clean energy, obviously. We're very strong in mobility. We have to develop, continue to grow our semiconductor ecosystem, and we have to develop aerospace and defense. Those are large sectors, but it's also about the small and medium-sized businesses. It's also about catalyzing growth that's happening from universities like Michigan Tech. It's also about dominating certain niches when it comes to tourism, hospitality, like outdoor recreation. Yes, there's work to be done, but I think that objectively, you have to say that our trajectory is in the right direction. Now, we have to make sure that that's felt by people who live on both peninsulas. And right now, I'm happy to be here for the entire week. I think this is maybe my ninth visit to the UP in 2.5 years. So we are very focused on making sure that people on both peninsulas understand that they matter, because economic development is all about people.
So if things are improving, how do we dispel some of that reputation that we might have had a few years ago that this was a Rust Belt state that nobody should pay attention to?
I think really think there's three things. I think one, we have to change the way we talk about ourselves. I'm a native Floridian. I moved up here from Louisiana. And I've lived a number of different places throughout my life. I've never been to a place that has such a simultaneously tremendous pride of place. I mean, we do this. We use our hands to talk about where we live, and there's such a pride. And you see the rear window decals and the bumper stickers and everything. People love Michigan. But when I came up here, people asked me, how are you dealing with the weather? How's the weather affecting? I'm like, I'm a rational person. It's fine. I mean, stop complaining about it.
That's the question this summer that we've been asking everybody across the South. How are you dealing with that 115-degree weather down there, folks?
Well, there you go. And I think the second point is, I think perception lags reality. And I think there's so many tremendous things that are happening on both peninsulas, especially here in UP, that it does take a while to narrative change, to change the narrative. And I do think when we are, the third thing, responsibly manage and prove that you can have economic growth that respects traditions, past, local prerogative, but also respects the environment. That's a winning formula, and that's Michigan.
My guest is Quentin Messer, Jr. He is the CEO of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Let's take a look at our little corner of the state. And I do in terms of, I mean, we here are very proud of living here. We love living here. We think this is a great area. But we are a little corner of the state. We have some unique challenges here that kind of make it difficult for some businesses to come in, the first being transportation. We're a long ways from anywhere in regards to shipping materials, shipping product. How do we push past that?
Sure. I think that's a great question. I think we have to play to the strengths here. And what are the strengths here in this part of the state? I think, one, the intellectual health of Michigan Tech. There are a lot of smart people on that campus. That's one. Two, the scenic beauty. I think they're just increasingly in a world in which you have places that are more and more subjected to extreme weather. You alluded to the scorching temperatures in places like Arizona and elsewhere in the Southwest. The fact that this is an incredible day here. I mean, it's, you know, what, 7 degrees, very, very, very little humidity. Water, I think water is obviously not only aesthetically pleasing, but it's also fundamental to life.
We've seen what's happening in California.
Absolutely.
And fortunately, they've gotten some relief from that situation. But boy, major crisis Southwest for the last several years.
Right. So you're absolutely right. So I think we have to focus here on the intellectual health here, the fact that we have stable climate. And I think third, we have to really think about what are those niches. I mean, you can't be all things to all people. But I think you have to think about how can you be the best possible vision of yourself. And I think as we share inside of Michigan, also regionally and then nationally and globally, what's happening here in the Copper region, what's happening here in Houlton, we can figure out that we can make those things happen. And I also think we have to be relentlessly optimistic. When one of these companies becomes such a dominant player on the global stage, you will see airlift into Calumet Airport. And it won't be an issue about at least people getting to and from in an air capacity. Now, there may always be logistics and things if you're hard materials, but I fundamentally believe in the markets. And I believe that when we are the best representation of ourselves, playing to our strengths, thinking creatively, united across both peninsulas, I think that we can help each other on both peninsulas. So I'm very optimistic, and I think a big source of optimism is the fact of what we have at Michigan Tech and the fact that we are having great ingenuity emerge from that campus.
You've mentioned Michigan Tech several times, and you're absolutely right in regards to the impact that it has here and certainly can have region-wide. Michigan over the last 20 to 25 years has been among the worst in the nation in terms of increased funding for its higher education facilities. Is it going to be more and more critical for us to find ways to boost that support, to keep our colleges and universities abreast of those in other states that are giving them more money?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think there are a couple of things. I think one, we have to, and as someone who serves and who has the great fortune to serve the people of Michigan and state government, we have to make sure that we articulate why we're asking the taxpayer for additional dollars. We have to make the argument as to why we warrant that. I think second, we have to be great fiduciaries with the tax dollars we have. And third, I think, you know, higher ed, the number one function of higher ed at any education institution, two-year or pre-K through 12, is about education, creating that joy of learning, that critical thinking, that receptivity to new ideas, that openness to being challenged. But we also have to make sure that we understand, I think the team at Michigan Tech, and shout out to President Kubek, who I know from his days down in Louisiana, understands the centrality of how a university can simultaneously be true to its mission to educate, to inform, enlighten, and provoke through the stimulation of life and the mind, but also have a strong connection to the community by making sure that economic vitality is accelerated. And I think there's a way to do both. And I think you saw with this legislature and certainly this governor a focus on making sure that we put more dollars toward higher education. I'm excited about the creation of the new State Department, MyLeap. I know people are like, oh, new State Department, why are you excited? What it does is it's going to help Michigan with the coordination function of four-year universities, two-year career and technical college, and pre-K. The dream is to have a state of friends and neighbors who are lifelong learners, because we're all going to have to learn something new, because technology will continue to disrupt the way not only we process information, receive information, but create and build goods and services.
Well, and we've seen study after study that shows that the career that you embark on when you graduate from college now will not be the career that you end your life on. You'll go through four or five transitions because that's what technology and that's what advancing technology is going to do to us. It's going to make jobs obsolete. You're going to have to be ready to move into something else.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the desire that we have to inculcate in our young people is learn a skill, not only whether it's, you know, welding or some of the trade skills, but also those skills that you acquire from going to 2 and 4 year universities, critical thinking, the ability to write well, the ability to communicate, receptivities to people of different cultures, the ability to understand how technology needs to be translated to the general public. Those things are vitally important. I mean, and also, I think the sheer willingness to learn something new. You know, a lot of people think, well, I've finished high school, so I'm never going to open a book again or go to, I mean, not everybody, not
there
very
is,
few people will
there
say
is
that.
No finish line.
There is
anymore.
No finish line. Not to be morbid, but the only finish line is death.
Thanks for bringing that in.
Well, I'm just saying.
The old guy sitting here.
No. What I'm saying is, and I think you made the great point, is that we're always constantly evolving because this next generation is getting smarter and smarter, and they're creating technologies, and they're thinking about connections and making meaning of the world in ways that, you know, I didn't think of. I never would have thought of, but I look at my children, I look at my great nieces, my great nephew, my grandnephew, and I think about the way they make meaning. It's going to be so radically different. And it's going to require me, because I hope to work for another 20, 25 years, to constantly think about new skills and new competencies.
There are some issues that we're facing here in the Copper Country that are affecting our economic development that I think are also being faced statewide. So let's bring up a couple of those and get your reaction as to how we're addressing these on a statewide basis. I'm talking with Quentin Messer Jr. He's the CEO of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. We are in this area, and I think across the state, desperately short of child care. That is holding businesses back. You mentioned Calumet Electronics. I know that's one that's suffering because of this. We have workers out there who would come into the market if they could only find someone to take care of their kids. How does this affect our economic growth as a state?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, it affects it in a profound way because it reduces your labor force participation rate. It reduces the ability of people to participate and present themselves fully in the workforce. But I think there are some encouraging signs. I think one, there is a program through the Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity, or LEO, called TriShare, where The state of Michigan pays one-third for childcare, company pays a third, and then the employee pays a third. But there's also, we are, and particularly I think you see with the Economic Development Organization in Marquette County, they are piloting an incubator for early childhood. Because part of the challenge is not only finding the child care centers, but training the workers, making sure that you can have it in such a way that you can pay people to work in childcare, make sure that the regulatory burden is enough to provide confidence, but is not so onerous that it dissuades people from going into it. And so I think that what they're doing in Marquette County, incubating and creating an incubator for childcare, is something that could eventually be a model for elsewhere in the UP and also on both peninsulas. But it is something, you absolutely are right. And that is a perfect example of something that can be technologically enabled, but technology can't replace a human being.
No, you've got to have living, breathing body to watch over these precious little living, breathing bodies that we have taken care of. And the problem is twofold. First of all, you have to make it affordable so that somebody who's going into a $15 an hour job can afford it. But secondly, you've got to have it in the first place.
Right.
And that's been one of the challenges that we've been looking at here in this area. One of the other challenges that we're looking at now, and it's really the first time it's happened here in well over a century, we have a housing shortage. And because of the housing shortage, prices of homes have gone up dramatically, prices of rents have gone up dramatically, and all of a sudden that single mom who's making the $15 an hour has no place to live anymore. People looking to move into the area are having trouble doing it because we don't have a lot of listings for them to look at. This is a problem statewide, I think, as well, from what I'm reading. How do we address that, and how big a problem is that holding back our economic development?
So I think it is a challenge not only in Michigan, but I think nationally we're seeing that post, even it predated the pandemic, but as we're moving through, as the pandemic now becomes, we're moving into endemic times, we are seeing this challenge of how do we go from a nation of single family homes to density, where you have to have folks living in whether condos or apartments, in places where typically it was always, for generations, single family, because of construction costs, because of young people wanting to have greater density, even in places that are not urban areas. They want that density. They want walkability. They want to use the car or other transportation as an option, not as a necessity. And so there are programs that primarily go through the Michigan MISHDA, or the Michigan State Housing Development Authority, and we work very closely. I talk on a regular basis with Executive Director Amy Hovey and her team. But also, we at MEDC still, I talked about the Making in Michigan focus on people, places, and projects. The place part of that is, how do you leverage dollars for mixed-use development, where you have maybe on the first floor, you have a retail space of some kind, but on the upper floors, particularly in some of our smaller towns, housing. And I think that's something we've done, and we have done that in some developments here in Houlton.
Yeah, Calumet, a good example of that. We're starting to see a lot of those old historic buildings redeveloped and retail on the ground floor, and fortunately with some state grants to make it financially affordable and feasible, some residential properties up on the upper floors. Let's wrap it up with this, Quentin Messer Jr. from the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. I'm a small business owner, or I'm thinking about starting a small business. I'm assuming that there is help available for me through your MEDC. How do I find out what that help is and access it?
So, great question. So, you can go to www.michiganbusiness.org, www.michiganbusiness.org. It's really easy, searchable. Just put in small business, and you'll see a pull down of opportunities. MEDC works with small business development centers, our smart zones, our Apex accelerators. We support those folks within the ecosystem who help small businessmen and women realize their entrepreneurial dream. And I think, parenthetically, I understand that no small business is small to the owner. It's the biggest thing in their life. And we understand that, and we understand how we need to make it easier to get resources to them. And we work through these incredible partners at the Small Business Development Center, the Smart Zone, which there's a tremendous one here, as well as Apex Accelerators for those who are focused on procurement and other industries.
All right. Quentin Messer Jr. is the CEO of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for visiting the Keweenaw, and thank you for being on Copper Country today.
I really appreciate it, and continue to stay safe and well.